It is such an amazing gift, Lord, from you, to have life and to have it abundantly, to have a huge family of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, those whom we can laugh with and those with whom we can cry. Lord, particularly this morning, we pray for the families of our brothers and sisters in Nashville who have suffered such incredible violent loss of family members. Minister to their hearts and their souls in their grief. Bring just the right people to them and comfort. Grant that they be aware of your Holy Spirit in a most unique way and find the strength to continue to go on with their lives, though radically changed because of this violent act against them. We thank you, Lord, that we have a peace that passes all understanding, and that though some horrible things happen in life to ones we love and sometimes to ourselves, we know that you are the one in control. Our strength and our trust is in you, and we have your word and your spirit to interpret that word into our lives. And so today, as we look at this particular passage in Romans, speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our minds and our souls that we will be changed, that the burden will be lightened, that the joy will be renewed in knowing who you are and what you have done for us. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. I've entitled this, The Two Most Important Men. Now, there are going to be several that I'm going to mention in this passage, but that's just the start, kind of the teaser. The two most important men. We'll begin by reading verses 12 through 14, chapter 5. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespasses, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by his grace of that one man, Jesus Christ. New glasses. We'll start over and see if I can get this in focus. Look at that. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The whole point of this is that sin leads to death. Now, some of these things are going to sound very fundamental, foundational to you, but we have to be reminded of this in a world that does seem to be coming loose at the edges. Sin leads to death. And in this paragraph, Paul tells us that sin came through one man into the world. There was no sin in the creation to begin with. It was perfect. It was exactly as God had intended it. There was harmony. There was no death. But because of Adam's disobedience, that's one man, because of his disobedience, death came into creation. Decay began. Things that were so pure and beautiful were marred. One man's sin. Now, as we go through this, I think you're going to realize, if you're taking Scripture at face value, and you understand that as Paul wrote this, he believed there was one man, Adam, that it was not something that developed over and over through millions of years, but there was a spontaneous creation at the beginning of the world, and that was of all that we see and of man himself and Eve, his wife. This was a spontaneous act by God, a dramatic thing, And it's pivotal in understanding the work of one other man, Jesus Christ, as we begin to work through this. If you don't believe that there was one man to begin with, this argument that Paul is making does not make much sense, because he compares and contrasts these two particular men, Adam and Jesus. And for my money, the longer I've thought about this, worked through it in my own life, been through several side trails on it, I have come to the conclusion that Adam and Eve were magnificent. We're going to get to that in a moment, as Paul refers back to Adam again in this paragraph. But they were incredible specimens of humanity. A perfect man and a perfect woman. I don't know what they looked like. All I know is that at this point, I believe if I were to see them, I would be speechless. Because there was no sin, there was no difficulty with that. They were magnificent creations made by God. But sin came through Adam in his disobedience, and that drastically changed everything in that split second when he decided, and Eve, that they wanted to be like God. And they could disobey God, and it wouldn't hurt them. They believed the lie. They swallowed it. And sin came into the world, and because of sin, there is death. I've mentioned this before to you, but this is a time to remind you again. This is why at funerals, even for good Christian people, as I perform many of these in Memphis when I was in the church there with the older adults, it is still an insult. Death is still an insult, and it's a horrible thing when I come to face it, because I realize we were not created to die to begin with. The sin has come in, and now there is death. And thank God that through faith in Jesus Christ, it's not the ending, and I'm getting ready to go into another sermon, so I won't go any further on that. But it's not the end. It's just part of a whole process that God has established through his work in this world and in Jesus Christ. But sin came through Adam. Death came because of sin. And this is true, Paul tells us, before and after Moses and the law. For those people who live between the time of Adam and Moses, there was no written codified law that we know of that was given to say this you shall do and this you shall not do. But apparently from the few clues we're given, God spoke directly to individuals who then spoke directly to the people to tell them this is what God says is right. This is what the Creator said we're to do. But sin came in to everyone, whether they had the law or did not have the law, from Moses, before Moses, and then after Moses. Everyone we know dies because everyone sins and has disobeyed God. And then in verse 14, Paul goes back to that mention of Adam that I talked about earlier, where he says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. Not a one to come, not just a type of another, but referring specifically to Jesus Christ. Adam, in his perfection, before his sin, before his disobedience, was a type of Jesus Christ. A perfect creation that did not sin. Now, this is foundational again in our understanding of ourselves and of life, that sin came through Adam and death comes because of sin, and it happens to everyone. No exceptions. We get into the second paragraph then, verses 15 through 17. But the free gift is not like the trespass. Free gift is not like the trespass, for if man died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, sin reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now, about halfway through that, I realize I've already read that to you. So there it is again. But in this paragraph, we realize that grace leads to life. First, there was sin that leads to death. Now Paul is saying there is grace which leads to life. This is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So with sin, you and I get what we deserve, whether it's through our actions, through our thoughts, through our attitudes. By sinning, it causes difficulties. It upsets the whole structure of things. It's not just something that you can do and it doesn't affect anybody else. But you and I, when we sin, it affects heavenly beings. It affects earthly beings. It affects all of creation. We can't see it. We don't actually experience it. But Scripture tells us that's what happens. With sin, we get what we deserve, and it's not a good thing. It's brokenness. It's disunity. It's lack of love. It's lack of forgiveness. But in grace, as Paul describes it, it is a free gift. And with this free gift, we do not get what we deserve. Yes, sin has its consequences, but the eternal consequences are radically changed because of the work of Jesus Christ. And though we would deserve eternal death, we don't get it, because in Christ we have eternal life. Grace abounds more than the power of sin. In fact, as Paul goes on to say, the amount of sin has no effect upon the amount of grace. No matter how much sin has been committed, there is grace enough to take care of that. You and I can never go beyond a point of any return to Christ. That is always the message. There is always hope until that last breath. Come back to Christ if you have left. If you have decided to go your own way, come back to Him. Grace abounds beyond every sin. No matter what it may be, in long past or in recent past, it is Satan's work to bring that to your mind again once you know you've been forgiven, once you understand it was wrong and Christ has forgiven you in that. It is our enemy's desire to make us feel horrible about that after we've been forgiven. It's over. It's done. It's been taken care of. Leave it alone. Grace abounds far more than anything you and I could think or do in our lives. And with Jesus Christ, Paul says, we reign in life, R-E-I-G-N. We rule in life. We are not victims. Get this. As believers in Christ, we are not victims, but we are rulers. And in His power, we have control over our lives, over what we do and what we say and how we think. Before Christ, we may have thought we had control, but we never did. After Christ, we do have that power, so that we are not at the mercy of things that happen. We're in control. Now, things may go apart from the way we want them to, but we are secure in Jesus Christ and in our relationship with Him. So because of that, we can say that we are in control of our lives and what we do. If nothing else, when we feel that we're out of control, we run to Christ, as we heard in the sermon again this morning. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. And in His time and in His way and through His means, He answers that prayer. With Jesus Christ, we reign in life. In Jesus, we are in control. That's very important. In the world that you and I live in right now, we are not victims. We are Christ's, and He is ours. That gets us then into verses 18 through 21. We talked about sin leads to death, grace leads to life, and now we look at some amazing parallels and contrasts in this new worldview, beginning at verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you see the parallels? There's one man that brought sin and death into the world. There's another man who has brought forgiveness and righteousness and peace into the world. One trespass, Adam. One act of righteousness, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ. All of Adam's descendants are marred by sin. All of Adam's descendants were marred by sin. All of Jesus' descendants are marked by grace. So you see how important it is to look at this one man, Adam, this one man, Jesus Christ. Sin held power over us in death. Grace gives eternal life. And as I said earlier, it is inexhaustible. There is no way to exhaust God's grace to you and to me, extended through Jesus Christ. The parallels are there. One man's trespass, death. Another man's obedience, life. Through one, many were brought into sin. Through the other, many are brought into life. This is how we are to view ourselves, how we view God, and how we view the world. And we're going to elaborate just more than the two men of Adam and Jesus. There are four men who are really emphasized in these first chapters in Romans. There is Adam and Jesus, but there's also Abraham. Remember, back in chapter 4, we talked about a lot of Abraham and his faith. His faith was counted to him as righteousness, not his act of obedience. It was his faith first, and then the obedience came. And in Moses, through Moses, the law came. And as Paul says, the awareness of trespasses increased. It just continues to amaze me as I do my annual read through the Old Testament. And all of the laws that were there, and all of the sacrifices that were described, and if it's this, then you have to do this, if it's this, you have to do that. The law brought about this incredible emphasis on sin. There were sacrifices going annually, daily, monthly, by the minute. But because of what Christ has done, all of that has changed. Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ. And in his work, it is a completion of everything that was started from the beginning. This is how we view ourselves and how we view God and how we view this world around us. Why we need redemption and how we have it in Jesus. This is where the peace comes from, because we know who we are. We have our identity not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. As a delightful daughter of the King, a delightful son of the King. We're not perfect. Certainly Christ knows that. But he gave his life so that we could have that forgiveness and that adoption into the family of God. You know, going back to all of these tenets that we covered when we were talking about the Westminster Confession of Faith, here we are in Romans. And we're looking in great detail about each one of those tenets and what was going on in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Like Jesus, as you and I make our lives more like his, we learn to be submissive and we learn to be strong. And again, those are two words we don't usually put together. But Jesus Christ was submissive to his Father's will. He did what he knew he needed to do, though he did not want to do it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, please. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours. He was submissive to the Father's will. And as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we're waving our palms. Again, it goes through our mind, Jesus knew how he was going to die. As he received the allocades and the worship and the shouts and the music, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, riding in, proclaiming himself as the king, not just of the Jews, but of the whole world, he knew what was going to happen. And he submitted himself to his Father's will and did that for you and for me. In the same way, as we know Jesus Christ, we become submissive to his will and his work, even if we don't want to do it. Even if our minds tell us, oh, there's a better way, do it God's way. And in that submission, we also have the strength that Christ showed to be strong to obey. Even though it may not be pleasant, even if it's not what we wanted, submissive and strong, Jesus Christ. This is the understanding that gives you and me peace in a world that has gone mad. Truly, the more we look at current events, the more you and I hear about happenings in our own country and happenings around the world in other countries, we realize that within Christ, we live in reality. Without Christ, we are deluded, we are deceived, and we are led to despair. This is how we understand things. Within Christ, we live in reality. We don't make things up because our imaginations say that's a good idea. We have the Word of God. We have a direct guide to understand the mind of God and what He wants us to do. That is reality. And because we have that, we have life. But without that, and we're seeing it in everything around us, people become confused about who they are. People become confused about what is right and what is wrong. People are deluded into thinking that this is an action they need to take, and it is from Satan himself, who delights in our destruction, in our misery, if he can delight in anything. But with Christ, there is no need for that. And that self-delusion, that self-deceit, leads to self-destruction. That's the truth. That's what God says. But in Christ, we have the reality which leads to peace. It leads to life. It leads to purpose. It leads to strength. All because we have that relationship with Him. Sin leads to death. Grace leads to life. Through one man, these things happened. Through another man, these other things have happened. Sin may abound. Grace abounds even more. And that's our guide for understanding life. This is not a new hymn, it was Horatio Bonar, but it was a new one to me. As I was thinking about these truths that are contained just in this one section of Paul's writing, not what these hands have done. Maybe some of you know this. I'd never heard it. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can one this night of sin, thy blood atone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. The grace above, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this man's bondage break. I bless the Christ of God. I rest on love divine. And with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine. It's not about what we can do. It's about what Christ has done for us and what Christ will do within us. Sin may abound, grace abounds even more. Let's pray. Father, this is seemingly so clear, and yet we can get it so mixed up. Thank you that the gospel can be understood from the least educated to the most brilliant, from the poorest to the richest, to the most simple to the most clever. It is still clear. Your truth carries through of what is right and what is wrong. Thank you for delivering us from our sin and the wages of that sin. Thank you through one man, Jesus Christ, and his work. We not only have hope, but we have peace. We have joy. We have a positive outlook about ourselves and about life that doesn't come from knowing ourselves better, but it comes from knowing you better. Grant, Lord, that we keep this in mind as we go through the week ahead. Regardless of what events may transpire, to find our comfort, our calm, and our peace in you and you alone. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.